When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are a sub-science here to make things make sense.
Today, we are talking about vegans. We're going to be having a chat about, you know, people's perceptions about them, why some people, maybe a lot of people don't like them, but we're also going to be talking about the health benefits, what happens to your body, what happens to aging, and is there correlations to anxiety and depression when it comes to veganism? Lots of vegetables to talk about today.
Hot topic. Today on Hot Topics, welcome to The View.
Is that from The View? I've never watched.
Okay, so we're going to start by just saying last episode was about eating buttholes. And at one point we said, if you're straight and you have made it to this point in the podcast,
please, it was like 40 minutes into the podcast.
It's pretty much the end, yeah. Sorry, if you finished the podcast,
yeah,
please reach out. We would love to know about our straight audience who is listening to this eating butthole podcast. And it was just a beautiful... like insane amount of men reaching out being like, I loved it. I listened and I was like, you're the real ones.
I had no idea. It's like, are we Joe Rogan now?
I know.
Like, I literally was like, there's a so lot of straight boys.
Okay. There's like, okay, there's one that just came in. They're still flooding in, boys. We're really proud of you. And it's like, ladies, if you're dating one of these men, you have got a good one on your hands. Because they wrote the cutest things. They're like,
and it was all so nice.
They were like, you know, I'm a straight guy. I made it to the end. Like, I really like to know like gay perspectives of science. Like, a lot of them were like, I work hard to hear other points of view. I'm like, wow, we're radicals. But this more recent one, he shared the background of him showing he's finishing the podcast. His background is a literal football player. Oh, it's like a football player is his background. And it says eating ass. Is it safe? Side note, it's like, you're like, that's wild.
Confirmation, he's straight.
Yeah, it's like you have a football player as your background.
Like someone trying to make us feel good, they like switch their background to like football.
But it was like crazy. There's so many people like, I'm straight, just wanted to let you know, like I made it. Like anyways,
yeah,
y'all
that's
are
cool.
The real ones.
Now I feel that we have a whole new demographic of audience. I mean, not to say that I thought there was no straight people listening to
the podcast. I never considered a straight guy when I speak onto this microphone.
Either. So thanks for coming along to all the straight boys out there.
Diverse ages, diverse like ethnicities, like wild. Yeah. I was like absolutely
blown away.
Our
affirmative action here on side note is like speaking to straight boys.
Yeah, imagine it was only straight guys. That would be a... We're like...
Oops.
We keep getting asked to do advertisements for male douche enemas. Callback. Okay.
It was fun. Either way, it's cool to know. Thank you for leaving those comments. We do read them and sending the Instagrams and whatever.
Let's get into it.
Yeah. Okay. Ready?
Oh, what did we learn this week?
Wow, that is loud.
Okay. So I need to just say, like, it's Friday. My what did we learn this week was about dogs yet again, but there is a new variant and I've been reading about it all day. And so as a science podcast, I just want to say, yeah, tis of concern. And it's kind of like when I read my nature magazines, my science magazines, like you can kind of tell in the pandemic when things are happening, and it's like things are happening right now. Like it's just like the way Nature magazine kind of dropped everything. And like, it's just the thing I read every day. And it's a little like, you know what I mean? You start to realize when the science community actually is like, okay, wait, we need to actually talk about this.
But it still
feels a bit like, whoosh.
I will say I haven't really looked at the news that much today. It was just like going through work stuff. So I don't know much about it. Does anyone? I don't know. Do you really think this is like, and obviously this podcast comes out like almost a week later.
Yeah, that's why I'm curious. Like when you're listening to this, you will know more. Mm-hmm. But what it is that there's like very intense spikes of cases in specific parts of South Africa where they know this variant is. So first thing, one thing that's really interesting is part of the mutation of the variant allows for it to be very easily detected. You don't need to necessarily rely on PCR. So because of that, they've been able to get some really quick data and be like, holy crap, it's everywhere. Mm. Really quickly, it's everywhere. It didn't exist a while ago. And they think it's like a specific person in Botswana who like... that mutated in. But it's mutated in so many places because now they can actually do genetic analysis. They've done that. And there's a lot, I think it's like 10 mutations on the spike protein, which is like not good for the potential ability for your immune system to not recognize it and for the vaccines to maybe not be as good. And there is a high transmissibility, they think, from seeing what has happened in the last sort of week in South Africa. So it's like, definitely too early, but the early information is a little bit like, this is what we've always been worried about. It's science, it's natural selection, it's how viruses work. Now it's up to finding out if the vaccines do in fact still work against it because low vaccination rates in South Africa. So when it starts to go to places, for example, like Canada, where we have high vaccination rates, like who knows? Right. It might be a similar thing to Delta here where the hospitalizations aren't going up. Similar, it still is like... more transmissible, Delta is. Yeah. The worry is that it's more transmissible and evades immune systems and vaccines. On Wednesday, if you're listening to this, you will probably know more, but as of Friday, that's what we know. And I just can't help but get addicted to reading all these things. So that's more what I learned this week.
Well, I mean, let's also like say the other end is that there have been very, not that you're saying like the scary end, but obviously this could be a moment that we look back on, but there's also been variants that have come that, you know, we've managed. It doesn't suddenly mean that.
Yeah. Sorry, beta, like, but yeah.
So I would just say,
bye, beta.
It's possible next week we just won't be talking about this, but let's
very optimistic.
It'll be that moment. No, I'm saying like, let's not freak out.
No, yeah, we don't need to freak out. And it's just another call for everyone to get vaccinated, really. It's like the only way to actually have hope against these variants is to make sure we're all vaccinated. Because right now the question is the vaccines could be working against it, in which case that's great. You need people to be not susceptible to the virus or else the virus will proliferate. And that's an important part of, I think, that's been lost in all these conversations about vaccines. It's like, if we don't do this, it's just going to mutate and get worse. You know what I mean? There's a whole other part of it. It's like, come on. Anyway, we're moving on.
Yeah. So are you not, do you have a different, what did we learn this week? Or?
Okay. Well, I can just do it quickly. It's so cute. It's just like, whoa, okay. A book came out about like the science of dogs. Happens once a year. You know what I mean? Like you want to sell a book,
right?
And you're a science researcher. Know what people love? Dogs. Oh, it's like a science book about it. So the new one's out.
Evergreen is the word they use with dogs. Actually.
Literally evergreen. But I mean, that's kind of interesting because the whole point of the book is like the history is long with us and the Canis lupus, which is a wolf. But, you know, looking at our dogs now,
they're descendant,
but that ain't a wolf. You know what I mean? Mm. It's not proven. It's not accepted among all scientists. But there's a theory now that the reason Homo sapiens freaking outtook the Neanderthalensis and the Neanderthals was because of our strong relationship with dogs.
Oh my gosh!
That's how you sell some books right there.
Oh my gosh.
So they think it was the sense of smell, the stamina to run swiftly to potential prey, the good eyesight. They thought it was like really important that dogs could like wound specific animals that would allow the humans to go in and like spear them.
Oh my God.
Like there's all these sort of like ideas as to why 50,000 to 40,000 years ago, it could have been the reason why.
I so wonder why Neanderthals like didn't use dogs, but maybe it was just like
maybe they're like, that's weird, that's a wolf. Yeah. Maybe yeah. We don't need to do that.
Yeah. Wow. That's really cool. I mean, it makes me love dogs more, and there should be a movie about that.
And there's like such 50,000
years ago where they're just like the first dogs that allowed Homo sapiens to win.
You've said that also, like, and it's true, there needs to be a teen drama about Neanderthals and humans.
Oh yeah.
Like or like Romeo and Juliet vibe, like a literally. Neanderthal and a human falling in love. And then, like, the Neanderthals, like,
said that idea.
It's a good one.
Okay, someone write a screenplay. Hurry up.
And then they also, it was like 16,000 years ago, is more the accepted time frame of dog domestication. But there's no single anatomical trait to be like, now it's domesticated, now it's not.
Which
but
came first, the chicken or the egg?
Exactly. Although definitely the Canis lupus wolf came first in this case. But 14,000 years ago, there's like a grave in Germany of a dog where they see that clearly humans had cared for a sick puppy for weeks before it died. So it's like, that's a sign that at least 14,000 years ago, you know, we cared about them. But it's like a funny like book trying to sell the idea that like they aren't our little captive animals. They actually saved us. If it weren't for the dog, we would have died to the Neanderthal.
I don't think that Ernie's captive. Like, I understand that perspective, and every now and then I look at him and I'm like, are you in jail?
Like, when I leave the house and he looks at me, I'm like, I'm sorry, yeah, but you can't come.
But I guess now that since the pandemic, I feel like we're always home. Like, maybe it is different when, like, in regular life, when, especially when people have 9-to-5 jobs or whatever, you're gone for huge
time. He's also worked from home forever.
Yeah, so I don't feel like that. But when I see, like, fish and stuff for turtles, I do get that feeling. I'm like, oh, they're captive.
Yeah, also, it's like, where did those turtles come from? That's what I always wanted. You know what I mean?
Like, we've probably a turtle farm.
Are you, like,
I don't know. There's puppy mills.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just always, when I see a turtle in a tank, I'm like, did someone just take that from the wild and put it in a tank?
Maybe.
Because it's like, we know so much about where our dogs come from.
Yeah. So, my what did you learn this week? I almost was going to save it for this episode because it's actually related to veganism. So just pretend like we're kind of transitioning now.
Yeah, we're going into the vegan.
But I thought it was interesting and I wanted to share it. Okay. Hot dogs, bacon, hamburgers. Where do they come from?
Hot dogs. I say hot dog, which is just my own little problem. Hot dogs come from... Isn't it like they're like the assholes and all the remnants
of what?
Of pigs.
And then,
yeah, I know.
I mean, like,
I know.
Or I don't know. Actually,
is this a trick question?
No, the question isn't that. Sorry. Like,
oh, my God. You always do these funny questions to start, and then you start panicking, and then you're like, that's not what I want to know. Okay.
I try to, like, lead with the question, but I'm like, this is not.
Okay, but it's pigs. It.
So basically, bacon comes from pigs, but hamburgers come from beef, I think.
Cows.
I'm such a vegetarian. We should know where it comes from.
Okay.
So a new study found that 40% of American children between 4 to 7 think all of those things we named are from plants.
What?
So yes, 47% thought.
Wait, what are you saying? Kids are so dumb. I'm kidding. But no, but they're also smarter than us in that they don't have, like, greed and all those horrible things.
But we'll
things.
Get into this. So okay,
actually,
so
yeah, they do. I don't know what I'm talking about.
In America, kids between 4 and 7 years old, 40% of them think that hot dogs, bacon, and hamburgers come from plants.
Okay, stupid child. Are you kidding? What plant looks like flesh, babe?
The 47% also thought French fries were...
meat?
Plants. But then,
it is. Well, it's a potato. Yeah. Oh, right. I see. But they thought it was that's like a tree.
Just, like, getting an apple or something.
Yeah, okay.
And then it said, even
that's a fruit, by the
38%
way.
thought chicken nuggets were plants. 77% believed that cows were not edible.
Okay, this is so interesting. Mm-hmm. And we are in the vegan episode now. Because one thing I'll say that my little nephew learns is... Old MacDonald had a farm real early. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they are obsessed because they just, like, learn
love
about
animals.
Pigs and cows. And then you're sitting there and I'm like, don't tell him what he's eating. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm like, as a vegetarian, I'm like, it's kind of crazy because of course he doesn't realize he's eating a cow. He's eating a hamburger.
Yes, but
he thinks it's a goddamn plant.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you're not telling the kid that's a cow.
That song is built on the premise of a farm.
But they don't know what farming is. It's not like it's not like in the song, they're like, and they slaughter the cow and you eat the cow and hamburger. Like, you're just learning about, it makes me realize. Of course, they don't think that because parents are too afraid to tell their kids the truth because it's morbid.
That's literally what my next thing is.
And a kid would be like, well, I don't want to eat that cow. And there we go when more people
Okay, so this is ultimately what the study's discussion was. It was that kids are unsuspecting or naive meat eaters is what they called them.
Wow.
And the study was like, it's actually a really unique period of life to start plant-based diets.
Exactly.
The kids naturally don't want to kill living things.
Exactly. That is
so
fucking
genius. If you start young, it's like they're not intentionally eating meat. They just... don't know what it is.
And that is
probably wouldn't want to eat meat.
That's what we need in the world. Like, we literally need, we're going to obviously get into this episode, we kind of already have, a world where it's more normalized to be vegan. And then you have to then say, like, you're at a restaurant, there should be an M beside things. Mm-hmm. Oh, actually, what on the menu has meat? And then, do you know what I mean? Like, that would be a really good world for climate change for a lot of, reasons. Yeah. That, if you start with kids at that age, when they don't even think they're eating meat, and they probably wouldn't want to, such an opportunity for that to become so normalized in their mind. Mm-hmm. Wow. Would you raise your kid?
Vegetarian
or vegan?
I don't know. Obviously, I would just probably, they'd eat what you're eating. I'm not going to, cook a meat meal if I'm not eating meat. But I obviously would be trying to make sure they're, eating really everything they need.
Yeah. Okay. Oh my God. We're just going to get into it.
Okay. That's great. True. This is an intro. We're going to take a little break. Then we'll come back and talk more about vegans.
Study time.
Rock back. It's live. Grimes on the track.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you've been listening to Side Note, you know here at This Fine Podcast that we love to talk about therapy. We're always bringing the new insights we learn from therapy to the pod. That's why today we want to talk about BetterHelp. BetterHelp will assess your personal needs and match you with a licensed professional therapist that you can start communicating with when within under 40 freaking hours. Yeah, I stuttered. It was that quick. The counseling is done securely online and is available worldwide. Not only can you schedule weekly video or phone sessions, skipping the long commute and waiting room energy of the in-person therapy experience, but you can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor and get timely and thoughtful responses. BetterHelp lets you change counselors at any time, which is really important. It can be really annoying to find the right one for you. So you'll always get a great therapeutic match, and it's more affordable than traditional online counseling with financial aid available. Just head to betterhelp.com/sidenote to get 10% off your first month. That also helps the show by doing that. And join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of experienced professionals. Again, that's betterhelp.com/sidenote for 10% off your first frickin' month. Here at Side Note, you know we are constantly talking about the climate crisis and how hard it can be to feel like you are making a difference. But thanks to today's sponsor, Wren, that's W-R-E-N, you can. You have to check it out. It's amazing. We love this website. It helps to calculate your carbon footprint, then offset it by funding projects that plant trees, protect rainforests, and more. Signing up to Wren is an easy way to start doing something about the climate crisis and would also be a really thoughtful gift for someone this year. It's simple and easy to use, and you're making a difference. I mean, come on, what more can you freaking want, okay? By answering a few questions about your lifestyle on Wren, you can find out your carbon footprint and how to reduce it. Unfortunately, no one can reduce their carbon footprint to zero, but this is a step in thine right direction. Once you sign up to make monthly contributions to offset your carbon footprint, you receive monthly updates from the tree planting, rainforest protection, and carbon removal projects that you support. You get to see where your money is actually going, which is very important. I love it because I can keep track of the trees I've planted and watch those babies grow. It will take a lot to end the climate crisis, we know that, but you can start helping today by learning more at Wren.co. And if you sign up with the referral code SIDENOTE, Wren will plant 10 extra frickin' trees in your name.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time. Study time.
And we're back. Vegans.
Okay, so the impetus for this episode was that in another episode we started to talk about it. We're like, we need to do this, and a whole episode about this, which is like, being vegan is such a intense thing. I think the impetus of the episode was to be like, why does everyone hate them? Which is kind of interesting. So I have a bunch of research on that. But like, it is a really interesting thing right now, I feel like, in the world. And I'm curious if we're at the precipice of like a huge cultural shift or not.
We might be. I mean, at least I think a lot of people who eat meat are more and more willing to try meat alternatives. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're going completely vegetarian or vegan, but definitely even the meat eaters in my life seem much more open. I think because the alternatives are becoming so popular. Like, you can go to A&W or Wendy's or McDonald's and get a veggie burger that maybe isn't tasting the exact same as your meat one, but still can be good. You know,
but it's like conversations are happening, mm-hmm. and it's leading, like, in the genuine way that movements do, to change in a weird way where it's like, yeah, I can still eat fast food and be a vegetarian and almost like join in and have a burger with everyone.
Yeah. And it's,
that's like, that never could have, I couldn't have even fathomed that as a kid.
That's true. Yeah. You'd just be like, if you're a vegetarian, you're never going to taste something like that again. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's just like, it's interesting. I think it's important to stop and reflect from like almost like a sci-fi perspective, like what's happening with culture and like the future. The future is now.
For me in this episode, like, I, even though it's about veganism, obviously there's going to be a lot of crossover with vegetarianism.
But not necessarily, because we are perceptions. Like,
I didn't realize we were doing the podcast about the perception, and Greg didn't tell me that part. So mine is more about the health benefits.
Oh, it was, look, the file folder's called Vegans. Why do people make fun of them?
But I know, because I made that folder. We have two different folders. Look, I made one called Veganism.
Oh.
Before you made yours, and then you made another one, and that's why I never
But why does it say that there? Oh, because I wrote that? Okay, wow, you're seeing in the back end of organizational structures
how
falling apart.
How we plan the podcast. Either way, I think it'll be interesting to have both, but okay, then let's talk about why are you vegetarian, not vegan?
Whoa, hard-hitting question.
Oh, should we save that for later and jump
no,
into
No, no, that's good, Oh my God, it's so interesting. Whoa, okay, here we go. So it's actually going to lead into why people hate vegans, in the sense that it's like cognitive dissonance. So the reason, based on my research, as to why people don't like vegans, or why there's jokes like, how do you know if someone's vegan? They'll tell you, is because every time you're sort of interact with a vegan person, they're subtly bringing into question the cognitive dissonance that it is to be human in a way that sometimes people can't handle.
And not just that it is to be human, that it is to eat meat and kill animals.
Yeah, sorry. But like, in
and
many...
And objectively know that it's bad and that it's harming the planet, but still doing it. Like,
yeah, but... What...
And we lived that way for a long time. I'm actually not, like, judging anyone
else. No, but what I'm trying to say is that it's not... I'm trying to say, like, in general, being human involves cognitive dissonance at all times.
Yeah, okay, fair.
You talk about climate change, you get in a car. Like, we're always, like... There's a scale at which we're always going to be living with cognitive dissonance in order to be a human with this brain.
Yeah.
And my point is that vegans, sheer existence forces people to like drop the facade. And I think that's where these jokes and this animosity and this like sort of annoyance and a lot of the research I had, vegans are like worried about how they talk about it. Like there's fear because it really does create a response in people. For that reason is what one study found.
Well, that's just an interesting broader discussion because I think that is probably the plight of all activists in some way, right? Like even to be a feminist, then some people are like, oh, well, these feminists give a bad like image to people who just want to like have normal versions of conversations of like making like an egalitarian or equal society or something.
Yeah.
That I'm sure there are people who have been on all sides of like the women's rights movements that some would say you're being too extreme and not inclusive enough, and others would say you're not moving the bar far enough. And the risk is like, if you distance yourself so much from the societal mainstream, will people listen to you?
Yeah.
But if you come too far in, are you diluting the whole point of what you're doing, right? Like, it's the question of, should we all be vegan? Or should I be vegan 3 times a week? And is that enough? You know, like, is there a way
Okay, so what is crazy is that it's like, vegans are amazing. They're literally working so hard to save the planet and to, like, literally save animals' lives and be moral authorities as humans. They're brilliant people. And the crazy thing is that in the research, people actually are so mean to them. And, like,
like, there's a disdain.
And, I mean, this one's from the most intense one's from 2015, but it's a fascinating study where they ask them, it's, like, anonymously about their negative attitudes towards people, and vegans are always, like, so high up. And it's, like, they literally, like... Mm. And they also are able to say they think vegans who are doing it for animal rights reasons are more annoying. They view them more negatively than people who are doing it for health reasons.
Huh.
And then that's where they also start to create this thesis of like, oh, it's that moral thing. Like when you're like, oh, I'm vegan for my heart, that doesn't project onto you.
It's like, okay, cool. I can actively choose that has nothing to do with it. Yeah. And I don't have
to
be healthy.
Oh my God, that's so good for your heart. Good job. Because you're probably unhealthy. Like you need that. You're a vegan. Whereas when you say, oh, I'm a vegan for animal rights and you're eating your steak, people are more mad at them because it is like, wait, now the conversation's about my moral questioning of like eating an animal.
Okay, so here's what I'm gonna add on top of that is the entire environmental movement is the reason, not that I'm vegan, but has been the reason I became vegetarian, primarily. And I do think this is maybe helping to tip the scales at a different rate than, and maybe not. Maybe I live in a bubble because like now I am vegetarian. Hmm. But I just feel like before it was moralistic or health reasons. And in the last 10 years, like obviously climate change has been an issue for longer than that. But I feel like cultural mainstream movement of a lot of fucking people on this planet being like, we need to do something about climate change. Like in a country like ours, it's like 80% are like, yeah, we should probably do something.
Okay, so that's so interesting because well, first of all, becoming vegan is increasing around the world, which is like important to know. Like it is, there was a time where people were like arguing that when you make something vegan, people hate vegans so much that no one buys it. And now they're like, the market has shifted and like saying something's vegan is actually like makes people makes buy it. So like there was a time where it was way worse.
Yeah.
And in this same study, it said 2015, it said that vegans were, that they felt they were weird, arrogant, preachy, militant, uptight, stupid, and mysteriously sadistic, which is so negative. But you're right. The climate change piece brings in like a new way of being like, wait, actually, maybe they're just like, and, yeah. Right.
Okay. But it is interesting because people can be vegans for different reasons. So like somebody who might be doing it for moralistic reasons could still not care about the environment. So are they right?
But that's right? And that's interesting. And they make people more mad based on these studies because it's like you're calling into question the... The climate change one still does kind of call into question your cognitive dissonance with the emotions.
Totally. And what, that's true. But it's like, I think more people, it's a really interesting phenomenon. And I once listened to a podcast, I can't remember if it was like Science First or something, but it was about the gay rights movement and why it went from, it was like one of the most successful social movements of all time. From like down at like 11% acceptance rate.
It's because they thought of saying slay queen honey. Everyone loved it and it took off.
You RuPaul gotta get a good, actually began the movement.
You gotta get a good, oh, it's, know what? They, when they literally sat down in 1940 to kind of like talk about what it meant to be vegan, the other option for name was Benivore or Vitan, V-I-T-A-N. I'm like, it's all about naming. Weird. If it was Vitan, who's Rose they? Would have been all over that.
Why Vitan?
Well, okay, I don't know. What? The only reason I know that vegans was meant to be like a version of vegetarian that like was a more like, it was like a, they said it was like a shorter word that like helped to be like, it's the more it's like cutting out finite more. Version. Yeah, more cutting
take out. Take out more letters.
Take out more, literally. Well, okay, not to say it was invented, but language, it's like that concept of that didn't exist until quite recently because in the 1800s in Western society, eating meat was a sign of wealth. And people couldn't just do it. It was like, then it grew and grew and grew to this point where after World War II, everyone could get access to meat. It was like canned. Mm-hmm. There was this big explosion of like meat didn't mean you were rich anymore. Everyone gets meat. Again, this is in the West. It was only around that time that they had to start thinking, what's the word for people who are not eating meat for moral reasons? And they came out with
that's interesting. Yeah, there must have always been that conversation somewhere like India where a huge portion of the population is vegetarian at least.
Yeah. And a lot of Buddhist societies don't eat meat and haven't for a long time. Like there's lots of, this is a Western conversation actually. True. I think we should probably.
Well, that is even, I was saying something earlier and I totally forgot because I'm on edibles. So I'm like, I had a point to make earlier, but.
We realize we haven't hit record. We're just truly just talking.
But it's an interesting thing because as much as the West is, and I shouldn't say this in a specific like geographic way, but parts of the world are becoming more vegan, but other parts of the world are growing so fast that still eat meat. So I think meat consumption is actually increasing.
It is,
Even though more people than ever are vegetarian.
Yeah.
Right? Because some places are just like hugely populous and growing so fast, and then that's just, and becoming more affluent. Like you said, meat is related to affluence. So as other countries are like passing out, what's the way? Like becoming more affluent, basically, bigger economies. And citizens that can afford meat, like it's just a different world.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's true. Like meat consumption is going up, even if all these freaking white people want to become vegans. You know what I mean? That's just the way it is. Okay, give me some of your stuff.
Well, okay, mine was mostly about health of vegans, and in particular, I wanted to talk a little bit about the connection between eating meat and aging, because I read this really good book called Lifespan by David St. Clair. I loved it. He's like an aging scientist researcher and just wrote a book kind of about all the different ways that your cells age primarily and like the things they're trying to do to like delay that, keep people healthy. Anyway, meat obviously has for a long time been linked to like potentially heart issues versus like a whole foods diet or a vegetarian diet, which often is linked to like being healthier. I can't tell if, are you listening?
Yeah, I'm trying to literally focus.
Okay.
I'm just trying to focus on what you're saying.
I was realizing I'm talking too much. Okay. So here's basically your body has this mechanism that they've recently discovered called mTOR, lowercase m, capital T-O-R.
Like mRNA.
I suppose, but like, yeah, in the way that that's written. And basically it responds to certain amino acids. So there's like leucine, isoleucine, valine are like really the main ones, I think. And those are prominently found in meats. And when you eat those meats, it's basically telling your body that times are good. It's like, we have meat. We've caught a mammoth, and it's time.
A mammoth, literally.
That was the example that he gave.
We've got a giant sloth.
Well,
in
you have
spear.
Meat. You might as well eat it all. And so your body goes into a mode of like fix, heal, and grow. Which is like obviously a healthy thing. Like there's nothing wrong with that. But the science has found that like you can either grow or protect. And so if you're always in growth mode, this mTOR path, when it's on, does not stimulate these anti-aging and protective measures. Because your body, when it's stressed, like exercise, your body gets stressed and releases a bunch of defense mechanisms to repair cells, to do all this stuff. And that's actually good to like go into a level of stress that doesn't harm you. And so like when you're hungry or eating plants, they find that this is much more common versus like when you eat meat, that mTOR process starts. And again, it's not saying that's not bad because it can help you build muscle and stuff, but to do it all the time, we live in a world where like people always have access to meat. Even I think there was a discussion about high like protein powders that are even vegetarian. It depends on the amino acid.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It can make a difference.
Protein powder is weird.
Ultimately, if you're starved of these amino acids, like it extends lifespan, or at those times it helps to repair. And so that's I just thought that was really interesting.
Like, well, that's a good benefit to like being vegan. And sometimes it's so weird that we live in a world where like toxic masculinity tries to tell people that like eating just meat is like healthier.
Yeah.
Or something. Like, so it's good to like have biochemical proof. It's like, yo, but like you can eat it if you enjoy eating it, but don't try and tell me it's better than like plant-based diets. That's great.
Well, I think this also goes back to the discussion about, do you go all in or are you like part in, like even in any of these activist conversations?
Also, I realized I never answered your question, which was the first question you asked, which is why am I vegetarian, not vegan?
Yeah.
So what I was sort of wanting to explain was the backstory and the science and psychological studies of cognitive dissonance. Because the reason is I have cognitive dissonance. And it's like, to be honest, like for me, when I was vegan, I did it right when I got Giardia. Lamblia, to say it right, I've been saying it wrong. I went vegan randomly when I got a literal parasite and I was like so sick. And it was like a weird thing where I was like, I guess I shouldn't be vegan. And then later realized like literal bacteria was eating all of my food from inside me. And I lost like 20 pounds and thought I was dying.
We were like, at first we're like, oh, you're so, you know, when you first started losing weight, it's like, oh my gosh, you look good. And then it was like, no, there's something wrong.
I was like, I remember the moment where I like went into work and was like, Rachel, I think I need to go to the hospital because like every person I see now is like, you look sick. Like it went from like, oh my God, Greg, you look skin. Then there was this week, I'm not kidding, I would see They'd oh my like, God, are you look so, and they would just be like, you look so sick. But it was close enough friends that they would say that.
Right.
Like if I saw a friend, I'd be, they were genuinely concerned. I'm like, we got to go to the doctor. I'm like, I had a vegan diet. And then they're like, no, there's truly parasites.
Something wrong.
Like thriving in your gut. Oh anyways. My God. So that was like part of a thing that brought me back to away from veganism to eating like more vegetarian. I think I started eating meat after that. But the main reason why for me is like, climate change reasons, and then getting a dog and like falling in love with an animal and having a bit more of that. And like when I
is see, why you became vegetarian,
because the thing is like my issue now, my cognitive dissonance is around climate change, because even though I don't consume very much dairy, I still eat like a lot of cheese, and it's like I have cognitive dissonance around that cheese means CO2 emissions. In my head I'm going, that's not flesh. I have this other reason, which is like, I do love animals so much.
It
and
goes
deeply.
Back to the moralistic issue.
But it's like where I have my cognitive dissonance lies and why I'm a vegetarian is in the climate change issue. And it's not, it's like even this week reading about vegan diets and climate change, I was like, oh my God, I'm a hypocrite. Like I need to reconsider this, because it's not about the flesh. It's about obviously the way the animals are treated, eating to get the dairy.
And like cognitive the industry dissonance. And how large it is.
I have cognitive dissonance around an aspect that is like, it's not moralistic to animals. Mm-hmm. And I have cognitive full dissonance around the climate change issue of the dairy that I eat, which is minimal though. I think there's a world where I could eat no dairy and I'm living a better life. We have solar panels. We're doing everything we can. Eating is a big part of people's lives. Like it's a change I could make, and I'm living with cognitive dissonance, but I don't want to eat meat. For me, it feels like the best thing I can do right now. And I need to rethink it. I need to reevaluate at all times. So what about you? Why are you vegetarian, not vegan?
I think if I'm being honest, it's because it's way harder.
True. Exactly.
So,
yeah.
I think it's a couple of things. Like, to go, honestly, I'm being honest.
No, because, that was what I was trying to say with dumb, long cognitive dissonance words. It's like, yeah, it's harder because I was assuming. It's like, yeah, it's way harder.
And so, but I still, respect vegans. I wish I could do that. And part of my sort of strategy was let's start with vegetarian. We've only been doing this now, since the pandemic.
Yeah.
And so it's I don't want to when they say, if you're going to start exercising, don't try to exercise 7 times a week. You're just going to burn out and you're going to never keep up with that. Start once a week or twice a week.
And being vegetarian, you realize how it takes a little bit of time. And then eventually you're it's so easy.
Yeah, because at first you're what the hell do I make?
Yeah, yeah.
And you just end up making the same meals without meat. Then you're going to be missing literally most of your meal.
Also, we live in an amazing city with the most incredible options that sometimes when you go to restaurants, it tunnel visions what you can order. And then while you end up ordering, people get so much FOMO over because you're you didn't even consider the dang Brussels sprouts, did ya? You know what I mean? Because they're all going for those staples. And there's these incredible veggie meals that I'm I wouldn't have ever ordered this, but this is so freaking good. And Toronto's really great. You can get vegan and vegetarian anything. Yeah.
It is nice because we live in a time now, and this was not always the case in our life, but where I think the vegan and vegetarian options are equally as good. And every now and then I might have a meat cheat every so often and just have meat. And I'm not saying it's bad taste or something like that. Obviously it can taste good. I just mean there are definitely meals now where I'm I actually would have chosen this over the meat dish.
What is also interesting about meat cheating as a vegetarian is that if you've ever wanted to enjoy meat, try going vegetarian for 6 months and then eating meat.
Yeah,
you will have a visceral, this is the best thing I've ever had. Or you might actually be like, this is disgusting.
Yeah, because one time I did that. Yeah, yeah. It kind of depends on the meat, but sometimes you really taste an
You're like,
animal.
Oh, I can picture thine bunny or eating fur. Rabbit.
Yeah,
yeah, or you're like, or like someone will cut their steak and be like, ooh, the blood. And I'd be like, you want to see the blood? That's crazy, man. You're eating flesh, man.
The other thing I was just going to say was, oh God, I already lost it. Where'd it go? I was talking about, I've lost it.
Okay, wait. Well, there's something I do want to say.
Why am I vegan? Oh, I was going to talk about just going back to that activist, where you stand. And I think I tend to be a much more moderate person in certain ways where I'm I want to look at people and say, I don't think you're so bad if you're having meat sometimes, but I think it's cool if you just cut a little bit out. To me, that's an effective strategy, especially for people in my lives where I'm I know they're not just going to go full veg. So the way I put it off is even if you're regularly eating meat every day, I think it's so cool. Even if you just take a couple of those days out.
Yeah.
And then I think the response I've gotten from that is I am trying to do that now, or I should try to do that.
Yeah, that's good.
I think that's baby steps. And that's part of the reason also, not why I'm vegetarian, but I feel I can have that forgiveness for myself as well. I'm not perfect. Yeah. I'm not a perfect vegan. I'm not doing everything in my power to be the least energy wasteful, you know what I mean? So it's it's okay to sometimes be but maybe I'm getting better all the time towards that.
Yeah, hopefully. But there's a bit of cognitive dissonance, and it's just
okay, you love that
you voted for Joe Biden, you're in the middle. I'm kidding.
Did not vote for Joe Biden.
Yeah, we couldn't vote.
Literally voted for the NDP in Canada.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just laughing. You're I'm just a middleman, and it's I just vote for Joe Biden.
I'm kidding.
In theory, I vote for Joe Biden too when it comes to vegetarian vibes. No, it is a joke. Me making a joke. I'm literally saying a joke.
No, but I think this is a difference between us. You are a more intense activist.
No, I literally vote for Joe Biden. I am a vegetarian, not a vegan.
Well, that's because in America, there's only two choices. I would obviously vote for Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, no, it's actually America, you're sick. That's crazy. Y'all didn't let that happen. But yeah, no, you're saying you think I'm more radical than you. I don't think that's necessarily true.
Not
on
always,
certain things.
Yes, totally.
We're maybe I'm we're more educated on certain things and we have more strong opinions on things we know more about.
Yes, and I don't think you're more radical on this.
No, I'm not.
I think we're
I'm embarrassed. When I read all this stuff, I'm like, God damn it, why am I vegan? I'm a dumb idiot. I need to stop eating cottage cheese and farting all the time. Okay, so another thing that I thought was interesting when doing this research is language I started to become obsessed with. And then it's okay, you say beef, not cow. That's why your kid doesn't know. It's you should be here's your cow for dinner. And then they'd be like, what? Do you know what I mean? I'm like, that seems unfair.
Yeah, but there's different kinds of meat from cow.
But
it's a kid. All it wants to know is what the hell I'm eating. You're like, well, actually, it's a cow, whether it's the eye or that's the ass.
It's like,
or the
imagine
leg.
We cut like the stalk of a broccoli and we were just like calling it something,
something else. Like a broccoli is a broccoli, a cabbage is a cabbage. That's not fair. And then pork? Hello, it's a pig. Like, it's kind of like,
say,
why are they having these code words that we don't
lamb
think about it?
Chops. And you know why kids don't like lamb chops?
Because they're like,
lamb
that's
chops
a
play
freaking lamb. And they're like, is that a Baba lamb, Baba black sheep I learned about? You know what I mean? Maybe that's why kids don't like lamb.
Well, do they? I don't have that stat.
Also, beefy is like a good thing. It means to be strong. And then it's like couch potato. Negative term potato.
Oh my God. And then, I've never realized that. Did you just think about
no,
it?
No, this is a study. This is actually like an article about language. Oh my God. But this one's really like, it's a derogatory term.
Oh my God,
but when
you're
people,
a vegetable.
Vegetable. Yeah. So it's like, why are all these negative terms? No wonder society's weird.
Oh my God, I'm disgusted by society.
Right? Like, do you not think that's like, I was like, when I read that, I was like, mic drop.
Yeah, it's
and
like,
I'm like,
why
know
are
what?
You being so mean to vegetables?
And you know what? I'm going to literally change the narrative. I'm woke SJW. And when someone's like, oh, looking beefy, I'm gonna be like, no, I'm not. I'm looking like a damn potato. I'm a couch potato, but a big couch potato.
What about stocky? Isn't that also kind of, I guess,
like the stock broth of a chicken?
Or like the stalk of a plant.
Yeah. Oh, true.
Bean stalk.
Okay, yeah, so there you go. I can go with that.
But I guess stocky could be like good.
Also, it's why people say plant-based, not vegan, because everyone's so stupid about vegan, the name. No. Everyone's like, plant-based is
actually,
like a way
no.
to get away from the fucking
I think that is what's
negative
happening.
Thing.
Because
yeah.
there are, especially in like the fitness industry, or even there's been like, on Australian Survivor, there was a guy and he was like really fit. And he was like, I'm a plant-based holistic eater or whatever.
Yeah, it's a smart word.
And he wouldn't say vegan. And I'm sure it was because even when he was on the show, he ate meat. And he was like, well, I'm glad I'm plant-based. You know what I mean? And it is a nice way to think about it too, where you're like, it actually tells you what to do.
It tells the kid what you're eating. This is plant-based. This is a cow, a pig, and a lamb. Mm-hmm. Which one do you want?
And even as a guideline or a guidepost for your own life, just like so much research shows that plant-based diets, that's not saying you full vegetarian, full vegan, but plant-based diets tend to leave people healthiest.
Yeah.
And, you know, like the Mediterranean diet is actually primarily plant-based with like some fish and like small portions of meat.
Yeah. The only article I read that wasn't like psychological studies, like actual health ones, was in quarantine in the pandemic. They studied, it was just females who were vegan and non-vegan, but they did their best for the parameters outside of that to make them all super healthy. So it's really, really healthy non-vegans and vegans based on their lifestyle, based on their like BMIs and their like essentially cardiovascular health at the beginning of the study. So rather than, you know what I mean? Like they focused in on really healthy people.
Okay.
And they found that, in many ways, their like nutrients and things were super similar. Like if you're healthy and you're thinking, you can be healthy with both. But they were like, but the only difference was that the people who were vegan, they had a better cardiovascular health overall, lower BMI, and lower cholesterol. Mm-hmm. And they think that's because they had lower saturated fatty acid consumption, which mainly comes from animal meat products.
Yeah.
They had a high fiber consumption because that's the sheer nature of eating plants. And then they had lower overall cholesterol intake, a lot of things which comes from butters and cheeses. And it's like, those are some solid like health understandings to kind of combat this idea that it's not healthy to eat plant-based. It's like, it actually is. Even at the extremes of health, it is more healthy for these reasons.
I think that's just the natural tendency of like a society. Like you said, cognitive dissonance. This is, we all have it. And it's just like easier to believe the stories that we've been told forever. Mm-hmm. And it's also important to remember, and this is obviously going to slowly change, but I did come across some studies. I was going to use one. And it was about like, I was like, I want to look up like, what are the negatives? And sometimes there is research that comes out that's like, oh, vegans are deficient in this and are more likely to suffer from these health problems. I'm not saying this is always the case, but the one I came across was funded by like the beef industry. And not that that always puts into question completely something, but it was a lot of the comments were like,
the cow industry.
You have to remember that there is money and power trying to maintain the status quo. It's the same with the oil industry. And I think, as you were saying, like the sort of alternative industry is booming now. And maybe there's more and more money there and it's momentum as
but
well.
It's still like
but it's fighting against people who are also trying to keep the ideas that meat is manly. Meat is healthy. Meat is, and like some of these things might be true in some ways, but like there's money being put behind it.
Yeah, that's really though. There's like truly lobbyists. It's so fascinating, this concept of vegan. That's like kind of what at the beginning when I was saying, like the beginning of this huge change in human history, because it's like it links to everything. It links to like philosophy, to morals, politics, through like lobbying. Like it has this crazy, fascinating narrative around it that like feels like a really important part of our like lifetime.
Kind of just also like it's maybe so important because it's so tied to like Homo sapiens, like, or the natural world, right? Like all animals have to eat, and some eat vegetables, some eat meat, some eat both. And it's like, where do humans belong? But we're past the point of just like surviving and living off the earth.
And it is just like, when you think of science and nature, it's like, all we really are doing is drinking water and eating food and sleeping and dying.
Yeah, that's
you know what I mean? It's like eating food is like a
compared to like debates around technology, it's like food has always been connected to humans. So we're not talking just cultural influence of like the last 100 years. We're like talking like 100,000 years. Right?
Also, the word diet, like your diet, is Greek.
Die.
No, well, it's diet is Greek for way of life. So it's like literally like the word has so much meaning in it. It's like way of life. Your diet is your life. The way of life. Your way of life.
Something that I didn't write this study down for this. Maybe we talked about it on the pod, but there was also one that it was like comparing, you know how in the Western world, like kids hate Brussels sprouts and broccoli, and there's like kind of stereotypes about what kids hate.
Yeah.
I think I read in this study that it's like way less common for that to be the case in East Asia. Like this is not a culture. This is not a, it's not just that all kids hate vegetables.
It's like Bart Simpson on The Simpsons was like, I don't like broccoli. And it's like the ideas.
I think they said in Japan, there are different vegetables, but it's like kids also grow up with so many more vegetables. In those cultures, like even think of going to get Korean food, like there's so kimchi and like radishes and all these different side dishes that are all vegetarian. In India, people are growing up with so many vegetables and not like hating vegetables.
Yeah,
so
and they praise cows.
It makes you realize how much culture influences this and not actually what the human body needs.
Yeah, interesting.
And on so both sides, I'm not saying that's because meat eaters are wrong. It's just like it actually is more about stories.
But now I'm just like, but like it's like meat is ruining the world and the animals.
Yeah, well that's at a certain point,
is there going to be like a moment where it's like,
because it's like I'm not debating that meat can be part of a healthy diet. Yeah. Yes, we know too much meat is actually pretty bad for you, in at least in certain ways.
It makes me so excited for the future. I'm so curious, like, where this is all going to end up and, like, how we're going to talk to our kids about it, what we're going to do with our kids, or really things take so slow to change that we're going to die before we see, like, the ultimate change in all of this.
We'll probably die.
Yeah, true. And thank you for listening, everyone. And if you didn't know, this just in, we're all going to die. So keep that on the back of the noggin. Don't let it take over too much.
I don't think, like, everyone's going to become a vegetarian in my lifetime.
I mean, it'd be crazy. Who knows, man? Like, we live a long time, dude. And that's climate change is obliterating us quickly. Oh my like, gosh. Extremes are going to come.
I guess that's true. Like my grandma probably could never have imagined the world we live in.
She's
now.
Like, you're eating a hamburger that looks like a hamburger that you're telling me is pea protein? Like, what the F?
I'm and just going back turkey. To, like, the acceptance of, like, even gay issues, people. Like I was saying at the beginning of the podcast, like, it in someone even the last 20 years, I think it's gone from 10% approval to like 90.
She's like, I can't believe my grandson's a faggot. She's just like calling you a faggot in her head. She like doesn't know what's wrong. Like, I can't believe
that's like the
he's
thing
a faggot.
Don't say that.
I can just see like imagine being like don't my all it. My grandparents are dead, but imagine they like sat down and they're like, we are so proud of you for being a faggot.
Oh my god, Greg.
Oh my god, that would be well, so funny. I'd be like, thank you. You just can't say that anymore, grandma. Kisses.
It is. That's how we're gonna be that age at one point, though, and be so detached.
They're gonna be like, you gave
yeah, they'll be like, beef. We can't believe you ate meat.
I know. I do think about that. Smoking on airplanes vibes.
I had one other study because speaking of like, I was trying to balance out not just being like, it's only good. There, one study I found. And again, we're going to talk about what this is for or why it happens, but a meta-analysis over 20 studies, and it was like 170,000 people, found that meat eaters have better mental health and experience less anxiety and depression.
Yeah, because people probably aren't making fun of them every time they eat food.
Then that was like a lot of the conversation on the road. Remember this was like,
it sucks. It's harder to be vegan. Really hard.
The paper itself was like, this is not a causal relationship. Like, it's probably not that meat makes your mental health better, but that there's obviously socio factors.
Also, back to my favorite word, cognitive dissonance. But having cognitive dissonance makes you happier. Like, no shit. You don't have to think about all the bad things in the world. You know, it's kind of funny. Like, but I do. That's where all, like, we're just making things up right now. That's an interesting study, and it's worth knowing.
Yeah, and it could. But then another subsequent study was between plant-based diets that are high in processed foods, like, are more depressed and anxious. So that's another interesting point, that just being plant-based or vegan doesn't actually make you automatically healthy.
Yeah, in fact, it is so hard that every time we've sort of switched our diet to be vegan or even be more vegan,
you kind of
sometimes start to realize, like, oh my God, I'm not eating enough of this, because it's like you haven't learned yet how to fill that in. It's a learning. You have to put work in and learn.
Yeah, that's what I meant by it was hard and now hard at the beginning. Because really we did easy, for a video once try to be vegan for a bit, and I remember being like, it is a lot of work, especially to transform your life and suddenly have all the right things. But honestly, at home, other than, like, when I cook, I think it is vegan.
It is. Yeah, we mostly do eat vegan. It's just that
sometimes we have, like, yogurt.
Yeah. And yogurt, and don't think about it like that.
Yeah, but we don't have, like, milks that aren't, like,
no.
You know, so.
And you end up buying a lot of vegan things.
In a lot of ways, I wouldn't be surprised that on most of the time we are being vegan.
Oh, true. We always are using those, like, fake vegan. All the meat we eat is fake vegan meat. Yeah,
but vegan is interesting because sometimes it's, like, little ingredients that you don't think of when you're a vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you could be having bread, which you obviously be like, this is vegan, but a lot of breads aren't vegan.
Yeah, that's true.
You could be having just, like, snacks, like donuts and stuff.
Yeah, like when they were like, oh, yeah, they use bones when they make wine. You're like, what? They're like, bones? Really? I thought it was people stomping on grapes. They're like, yeah, you think people stomp on grapes? You damn idiot. And you're like, whoa, true.
Wait, what?
Like, I'm just like, when I picture wine getting made, I picture people, like, stomping on grapes.
Okay.
Making me wine. But it's like, no, it's literally, there's part of the process that actually involves, like, bones cutting up parts of the thing.
Okay, wait, what?
Like, cutting up the grapes again.
Okay, but it's not, like, the main part. Like, when you drink you drink wine, like, you're drinking grapes. You're not just, like, mostly drinking
bones. Not like bones. No, it's not, like, gelatinous. Even gelatin, that's an interesting one.
Yes, gelatin. I know what you mean. Like, a lot of alcohols are not vegan.
Okay, no. Okay, maybe we should probably end soon, but the science of gelatin is so interesting because it's like what you do is you're heating up the actual, like, microscopic bone parts of bones that are, when they shatter, they spread out. And then what happens is, like, because you then take it away from the heat and it cools, because they've spread out when they cool, it, like, cools as a solid.
I mean, that's absolutely disgusting.
So it's like, you know, people are like, why is, like, gelatin in this? It's like actually part of the process of that, like, gooey is the bone. Like, isn't that aspects that you're using? Isn't that it?
Because, like, it's like morbid? What it would do in the bone that it would, like...
Like, yeah, you add kinetic energy and it causes it to, like, spread out. And then when it cools, it, like, is more gelatinous. But it's like, and if you think about, like, the cartilage in your, like, knees and things like that, there's, like, certain biochemically parts of that that if you boiled would spread out and it would harden cooler. That's crazy. Okay.
Yeah, and that's
so,
like, candy.
Another thing we don't think about.
Yes. So that is, like, it is interesting because when I think about being a vegetarian and even a vegan, I think about meat, but it is so much more than that.
Yeah.
Like, it is, especially when it's, like, honey, even for some vegans, is like, you can't have that. And so definitely there's a lot more.
And don't put on your leather baseball glove.
And that, sorry if I'm just, like, high and talking about this, but that's, like, why it's harder for people because you can't just see it. You can be a vegetarian and always know you're being a vegetarian. But if you're a vegan, you actually have to look at every ingredient.
Yeah, that's
true. So it's an active choice, whereas being a vegetarian can be more passive. Because you're like, I know what is in front of my eyes is what it is.
Yeah.
It's not about ingredients always. Although sometimes it might be like, that would cook in bacon fat. You know, like you need to know that the Brussels sprouts were cooked in bacon fat.
And you're not going
to
get leather interiors on the car kind of vibe.
But it's just easier to know and see. Anyway.
Like, leather's so scary. When I'm like, you want the skin of an animal?
Oh, yeah. Weren't we just finding out that leather in cars is one of, like, the main draws?
Reasons for their deforesting of the Amazon.
Oh, my God.
It was a really depressing article. Yeah, don't get leather interiors and don't buy leather couches. Like, right? Because they're, like, squeaky and, like, weird on your skin.
I hate leather.
I hate leather. I've also always been like,
who would buy that? And not even because of a moral reason. I'm like, it's like wet and gross. And like, whenever I've seen them in people's houses and sat on them, like, I've been like, ew,
you, yeah, you sweat on them.
And I'm like, oh, go sleep on that. I'm like, you want me to sleep on a plastic, like insane, squeaky, squeaky skin of a cow?
Oh my God, we could do a whole episode on leather couches.
Okay, boom.
Just like that.
Writing it down.
Is, I have a lot of feelings about leather couches.
Even and just leather in general. And leather interiors of cars.
Just like, okay.
Okay, we're done.
Okay, we're done.
We love vegans so much. It's not funny to make fun of them.
Last question. Do you think you'll ever be vegan?
I'm like, the world is like a future that I'm excited for, and I want to
okay,
say,
she's a politician.
I have my hand up. Well, you see, the world in front of me is a path laid out before me that we all must take.
And the reporter's like, yes or no? Yes or no? Will you
for
be
me? I am excited for the future where I am pushed to be vegan, and I know that for myself, a vegan is the thing to be.
You were really gonna go there.
So for now, I cannot say a yes for sure, but my hope in my heart is yes. Thank you so much for listening. There will be no more questions.
Wow. Okay, Gregory Brown, you could be a politician.
Well, what? I could just make shit up.
You just don't answer the question. Yeah.
yeah. Done. Okay. Wait. Okay. I'm gonna say yeah, but like, it's just because I hope I have a rad kid that pushes me that way.
That's interesting because you have cognitive dissonance.
Yeah. Wait. So you just don't think you're ever gonna be vegan?
No. But I would lean more into being like, wish I had it in me to do it, and maybe one day will
me
be.
Too.
But I think right now I am not there.
I feel like you're
yet.
Doing the exact same politician thing as me. Didn't you just do it in your own way? You're like, I would want to say yeah, but I'm gonna say no. But I could say yeah, and I think I will say yeah.
Well,
for no.
I would say probably at least 50-70% of our meals are vegan anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So don't come for us.
So it's like there's gonna be a 23andMe for this, where it's like I'm 5% vegan. You know, you can see where you fit on all the scales of everything.
What was the thing I'm writing down? Oh, leather. Okay. So leather. Make sure you're subscribed to hear the upcoming episode about leather.
Love you guys. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.